nature.
Two Republicans, including John McCain, say not so fast when it comes to the stimulus. They're calling it the summertime blues report. And they're talking about wasted money. Wait till you hear where some of the stimulus money went. New York City has decided a mosque will be built near Ground Zero, or at least it's looking that way. One hurdle was cleared. I'll explain. And plus, coming up at the end of the hour, we have Bad Boys. Oh, we got a good one for you, too, and the blunder of the day. Kate Delaney, happy to be hanging with you coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. As I am fond of saying on this show, remember at any time you can chime in and throw in your two cents. I don't care what your stripes are. It's about the opinions. It's not whether you're left, right, or confused. Or maybe you don't call yourself anything. It's all about the labels these days, isn't it? 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. The question becomes, should New York have cleared the way for construction of a mosque just a couple of blocks away from where the planes went into the World Trade Centers and brought them down oh so many years ago, back in 2001? It was unanimous, and when I say it was unanimous, a city commission denied landmark status to the building where this is going to happen. It's a five-story building near, as I said, Ground Zero. That group wants to convert the building to an Islamic center and a mosque. Now, the group is called the Cordova Initiative, and they say the idea behind the initiative is to bridge the gap between Muslims and other religions and other people and invite them in. But the relatives of those who were killed on that day want nothing to do with being invited into the Cordova Initiative, at least not in that area of town. And I think more than anything, it's a sensitivity thing. It's the ultimate slap in the face to the families of the victims, and it doesn't ultimately accomplish what peaceful Muslim families, I believe, want to happen. And we've had guests that have talked about this on ATN, as I got many letters from you on that one. So I agree with the whole idea of religious freedom, but choosing to dig in the heels and build it there, huge mistake. Mayor Bloomberg and the city council doesn't think so, and there are others who back it up as well. One thing we're not backing up in this country, and we never have, is nobody, whether they have money or they have no money or they fall somewhere in between, ever wants to be slammed with higher taxes, right? Or to pay the freight for somebody else. So Tim Geithner, I keep forgetting he's the Secretary of the Treasury, because remember when we did our pink slip thing, I thought Geithner was the guy to go. I don't see what he adds to the Obama administration or what he adds to that ridiculous office the way it's been run in these past administrations. But anyway, Geithner talked about tax cuts and how it would add to the deficit and it would be irresponsible. And, of course, we're talking about the Bush tax cuts and extending them. There's been a lot of debate about that. While Geithner says it's not the right thing to do. Remember, Ben Bernanke, the Federal Reserve chairman, was pushing to have those tax cuts extended. So what gives? Here's Geithner's take.
If you extend, particularly these tax cuts that only go to 2% of the highest earning Americans, then there would be a much higher probability they'll be extended indefinitely, and that would add $700 billion to our 10-year deficits. That would be a deeply fiscally irresponsible act. What the president believes is the best strategy for the country is to extend the tax cuts that go to more than 95% of Americans.
All right, so you heard his point of view, and he's pretty much saying, yeah, the people who have it are the ones who would benefit from the most, but it really wouldn't help anyone else. It's not true if you look in the small business point of view, which is what Bernanke is saying and what scares him to death, because he sees this as killing off or atrophying more opportunities, probably for growth, because that's what's having to pay more. Like I said, nobody wants to pay more taxes no matter where you fall, and that would be the very same thing for these small businesses. And you have to always remember the definition of a small business: 500 or less. There were more than 500 voters in Missouri on Tuesday who overwhelmingly rejected one of the key provisions of the new health care law that will kick in. And man, this sends a strong message, I think, back to D.C. less than 100 days before the midterm elections. 71% of Missouri voters backed a ballot measure, Proposition C, that would forbid the government from requiring people to have health insurance or for penalizing them for not having it. Now, to be sure, the Missouri law conflicts with the federal requirement that most people have health insurance or face that penalty starting in 2014. But if nothing else, it's symbolic, because generally federal law is going to trump state law. It's a sign that people are disillusioned. Voters are not happy with what's going on with the federal policies, and it's been a real show of strength for conservatives, and to have that happen in Missouri, because there are other states that are challenging it as well. The ballot featured primaries for U.S. Senate, Congress, and numerous state legislative seats, too, by the way, throwing that in. At many of the polling places, voters said they were most passionate about the health insurance referendum than any other thing. And, you know, when they do those exit polls, most of the people were saying things like, we've been duped about the benefits of the health care proposal, and that even though the federal law may, in fact, supersede state law, we're trying to send a message back to D.C. And there was a high Republican turnout in this one, a high Republican turnout. Originally, the GOP wanted to place it on Missouri's November ballot, and they would make that in the form of a state constitutional amendment, but to avoid a logjam or a Democratic filibuster in the state Senate, they agreed to scale it back, and that's how this happened. Now, in Arizona, Georgia, Idaho, Louisiana, and Virginia, they've passed similar statutes without referring them to the ballot. Of course, voters in Arizona and Oklahoma are going to vote on those measures as state constitutional amendments in November, but Missouri was the first. They were the first state to challenge any of the aspects of the federal law in a referendum. Remember, what that was supposedly going to do, what that federal requirement was supposed to do, was broaden the pool of healthy people covered by insurers and holding down the fort, holding down the premiums that otherwise would rise because of other separate provisions preventing insurers from denying coverage to people with bad health or pre-existing conditions. But apparently, and for good reason, a lot of people are chased off by this, and Missouri is just one of a dozen states, the states I just named, that are filing lawsuits, even saying Congress oversteps its constitutional authority. Hang with us.
So, you're rolling your own, eh? Me too. And you better keep rolling with the best, rollingpapers.com. The best site on the web with over 1,500 products. Whether hemp, rice, flax, or pulp, we've got your rolling papers. For store owners, rollingpapers.com has wholesale pricing and display boxes. Papers, tubes, filters, rolling machines in hundreds of brands, sizes, and styles. Hey, try the new Big Bag brand available at rollingpapers.com. We are essentially located and quickly package and ship daily to anywhere in the world. Adult consumers can buy one individually to sample or for the best prices, select any of the wholesale displays available direct from the pros at rollingpapers.com. No minimum purchase required and a friendly, helpful staff. You won't believe the selection and great pricing at rollingpapers.com. Retail, wholesale, import, and export. Keep rolling your own with rollingpapers.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
In 1965, this was the sound. Coming to town. One more time. One more time. One more time. Fantasy. Metal drag. Papa's got a brand new bag. Come to mama. I think it's for you to see. Papa's got a brand new bag.
Coming up around the bend, we're going to hit the header. That means we're going to look at the headlines across the nation. But before we do that, boy, it's one of my favorite weeks of the year. I know I mentioned this on a previous show, but I don't know what it is. If I'm going to plop in front of the Discovery Channel, it's definitely going to be to watch Shark Week. It's fascinating, the stuff that they come up with, and I cannot believe how crazy it seems, some of the people that will jump in the water and some of the things that they'll do to entice the sharks, and then they come away unscathed. I wonder truly what they're thinking as they take these risks. Oh, I'm going to swim with the sharks. And there have been a couple of interesting episodes already. Now, in Massachusetts and in New Jersey, there have been shark sightings, and it's rather curious what people are saying about seeing the sharks. In some cases, it's everyone running for the beach. In other cases, the curiosity factor is just too much, and it sort of pulls people in to get a closer look at the shark. And I think part of this has to do with the buzz over Shark Week, and we're all about the buzz on this show. It's not just about politics, but other things that we're talking about. So check this out.
We're not on the menu normally. You know, we're not one of their prey animals. And so usually, especially on stuff where you hear people like surfers and stuff like that, and they get hit by a shark, it is mistaken identity. There could not have been a better PR stunt where you have great whites off the coast of Massachusetts, literally right there. And then just 2 days ago, a shark beached itself at the Jersey Shore. And we actually do that in my show, where I'm able to lure a shark, surprisingly to me, just literally on his belly coming after the food. So, and this shark kind of did that.
That's Terry Shepard, by the way. Like I said, one of the people who crazily will do things, will get in the water and not have that fear of the sharks. I don't know, Matt. There's a lot of things that I would do for maybe a thrill, but one of them wouldn't necessarily be swimming with the sharks.
Not out in the open like that.
No. In a cage, I know somebody who did it in South Africa where there were a lot of great whites, and they said it's a common thing. You go there and you can, I don't know how much it costs, but you go in a cage and you go under and you've got the cage between you and the shark will come near the cage, but you feel protected by that. But out in the open, I don't think I have what it takes to be able to do that and not be worried about what would happen. It is a different breed of person when you're willing to go all the way, and I mean that's definitely going all the way. But I do like watching Shark Week. Like I said, it's entertaining to see how far people will go, and also things that they teach you about sharks. Because really, the idea of Shark Week is not that they're trying to scare you, and it's about jaws and attacks. Even though they'll do things on attacks, it's quite the opposite. It's more about, hey, these are creatures are much more gentle than they're being portrayed, and you'd be surprised. And if you think that you're going to be attacked by sharks, here are some of the things that you can do, and here are some of the things you shouldn't do. A lot of them, so far in the stuff that I've been watching and what I know from the past, a lot of it has to do with the obvious, and it's the splashing around in the water, because the splashing gives off the vibe that you're like a seal, and you're not. But to the shark, they don't know that. That's why the attacks with some of the surfers. That's why I think it was maybe a year ago, you had a guy with a group of other guys swimming in San Diego, not actually too far off the shore. And as they were swimming in their rotation, the last guy in line was bitten by the shark to the point where he did die. But the shark saw the group and the hands and the splashing, and that was the attraction. And he, unfortunately, was the unlucky one, as he was at the end of the swim. He was at the end of the group swimming in unison, so he was the one that got attacked. But for the most part, it's the opposite of what, even though it's hard to rectify this in your head, it's the opposite of really what they would normally, I'd say normally, do. All right, we've got a couple of odds and ends to clean up for you. We don't want to ignore the Gulf oil spill, although, man, we would like to in one way, because you want to talk about coverage ad nauseum. It's this. You know, every day in the very beginning of this, it was about the oil spill. This is the largest in our history. How many gallons of oil have spilled so far? Whose fault is it? Who isn't responding? All that stuff. So now with the oil slicks pretty much fading in the Gulf of Mexico, thanks to the capped well, it's a question of, you've got skimmer boats that are having trouble finding slicks. It's a question of, is there anything else out there? That 40% of the leaked oil, more than 90 million gallons that would probably be of the crude, is missing. So where does this water go? Is it under the water? And if it's under the water, environmentalists say that oil tends to congeal, which that makes sense. I read a story on this the other day, and where you see a broad slick, you've got a lot of tar balls. So they're floating as tar balls, or they're buried in the Mississippi River mud, or they're carried off in currents, but most of the spilled oil is in the water. And a chemical spill in the ocean is kind of what the leak is what they're comparing it to, that the crude oil's got the diesel, so it has gasoline, it's got kerosene, got methane, sounds great, huh? And chemicals that are not good for you. So there are hundreds and hundreds of chemicals in crude oil, and it would be hazardous. Yeah, absolutely, it'd be hazardous. And the comparisons are tough because this is the biggest spill that we've had in the United States. Everybody in the beginning kept trying to compare it to 89's Exxon Valdez spill in the aftermath. But in the marshes, oil can be cleaned, they say, from the foliage and end up buried by the mud, where it would end up, think about that, buried in the mud, it would end up near growing plants. So then the toxins would seep into the cells and it would release oxygen. It doesn't sound good to me. It sounds like more than a headache. It sounds like an impossibility to try to completely scrub it up and think that it's all done. To think that, okay, we got as much as we can and there's only a little bit left. So now the oil spill, it's a question of what now moves from capping the leak to fixing the damaged areas. And most scientists are saying there's no, BP can't go in with some huge vacuum, of course. Then all they can say is, well, good luck, kids, and we hope you get it all out of the marshes. We tried to do our best because that's pretty much where we're at. They might be resilient, but they were slammed by the oil. And how do you get all that oil out? How do you get the oil out of the mud? How do you sift it out? How do you feel confident that you've gotten as much as possible? When do you know? I mean, I guess the answer to my own question is there is no definite. I mean, the spill has changed the lives of the people who make their living in particular areas, pockets that got slammed by it, and they're going to feel the effects of that for a while with housing prices dropping down $50,000, $60,000 off what they normally thought they would get for a piece of coastal property, and restaurants falling off, and fishermen and folks that go after oysters and go after shrimpers. I mean, they're affected by this. They're getting checks from BP, and they just have to, for their part, they just have to look ahead, because there are no definites. All right, this was another big, sad story. A gunman killed 8 people and then himself at a Connecticut plant. He was going to be let go. He was stealing from the company. They had him on video. They were showing him the video, and then he opened fire and killed a bunch of innocent people. Unfortunately, it goes to that saying of, geez, who knew that so-and-so was going to go postal? And I feel awful for these families who got those terrible phone calls, because Omar Thornton went to his job in Manchester, Connecticut, and decided that was going to be the day that he was going to take other people out because he was being let go, and then he was going to kill himself. Meet you on the flip side.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
10 years. A decade of talk. Great Talk Radio is here on the Genesis Communications Network.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze-Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze-Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze-Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
You owe the IRS money you can't pay? Then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
If you are concerned about heart health, have heart problems, or know someone who does, this message is for you. LifeWise Naturals introduces HeartWise with citronol, CoQ10, hawthorn, and more. For premium cardiovascular health, just two HeartWise capsules per day provide optimum levels of powerful nutrients to promote cardiovascular energy, healthy blood pressure, circulatory health, and normal cholesterol levels. HeartWise is made with patented ingredients using only research-based potencies of individual nutrients. This exclusive formulation works in multiple ways, providing comprehensive cardiovascular protection. A 30-day supply of HeartWise with citronol and CoQ10 is only $22.50. GCN listeners, order HeartWise now and receive a free bottle of True Pomegranate, one of the most effective superfoods and antioxidants available. Mention product code HEART when you call 800-643-9558, 800-643-9558, or go to freeheartoffer.com. That's freeheartoffer.com today.
On America Tonight to the people in Missouri for actually showing up and voting on something that was important, something important enough to get them away from the tube and watching whatever the primetime fair was. I don't know what it was, but American Idol's not on, so it's probably some other reality show. But for actually going out voting and voting the way they thought, the way we've heard most of you call this show and say that you were frustrated beyond belief with some of the things that you didn't like with the health care reforms that would kick in, and one of them that's supposed to kick in 2014 is you better have health insurance. If you don't, you're going to be fined. But the fine would actually be cheaper than some of the health insurance that's out there. So a lot of people say they'll just risk it and see if the IRS is going to fine them or not. He didn't really want to be found. He wanted to be embedded, and that's why he gets the dungeon. The he I'm mentioning is the guy who broke the story in the Rolling Stone magazine that ended the military career of Stanley McChrystal, the general, the former top guy, commander in Afghanistan. He was denied permission to join the U.S. troops fighting in that country. A Defense Department spokesperson told the media, reporters and whatnot, that freelance writer Michael Hastings was rebuffed when he was asked, to accompany or embed, as the common term, with American forces next month. The Inspector General's review started shortly after, because they're looking into the circumstances behind some of the, what they call salacious material that he used in his article. So they, the Inspector General started a review after that came out in print, and it killed McChrystal's career. The Inspector General is an independent investigator, by the way, who considers whether officers were insubordinate and how far up the chain of command responsibility for decisions involving the Hastings interview extended. I think that's good, because it wasn't so much McChrystal. If you read the things that McChrystal said, they weren't as bad as the guys who went out and got bombed with this guy and just said all kinds of things. And it was the guys that he trusted, or, you know, would occasionally have a drink with, were the ones who blathered on and on, and it ended up in print, and that was it for the general. So for that, Michael Hastings, I have to think, he wants to be embedded in Afghanistan. The morale of the troops was hurt by the McChrystal switch in some cases, because a lot of soldiers really liked him, as he involved people in the conversations, had those daily briefings from Afghanistan, and kept everybody on the front lines in the loop. That's all going to change with the WikiLeaks thing, and now, and this thing previous to it, the access is going to be a little bit different, to be certain. So for that reason alone, because he just thought he must have blinders on, that they were going to let him be embedded, it'd be dangerous for him, Michael Hastings needs to rethink it, and we're going to put him in the dungeon.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
All right, what's interesting about the Hastings thing, too, is that he's already signed a book contract that came out of the McChrystal story. So this is going to net him some money. It killed the general's career, but he's going to make some bucks out of it. And I don't blame him. Look, he had the opportunity, he took the opportunity, but when he thinks he's going to be embedded, and there is no right to be embedded, it's between the unit and the individual reporters, and the key thing is you got to trust the people that they're going to be able to abide by the rules, whoever the reporter is. And we know that reporters have been injured, almost killed. In some cases, actually, journalists have been killed by being embedded with the IEDs and the places where they are. So I can't believe he thought that he would be embraced in this way after what happened with the McChrystal thing. You know, there was an 18-minute farewell to arms that was delivered to a crowd of VIPs, and that was McChrystal. His inner circle got together because there was no real big send-off, and apparently he had kind of a sense of humor about it. He said that he had stories and photos, and he said, "I know a Rolling Stone reporter." So as much as this probably killed McChrystal, since his whole life has been the military, he was able to find a moment or two where he could look at it from a different point of view, and he steps away with full retirement, the full four that he gets instead of the three, because there was a chance of that. So that I think that was the fair thing to do with McChrystal. All right, let's get you up on a couple of other things that people are buzzing about across the nation, and one of them is, I don't know what it is you hold in your hand. Are you a BlackBerry person? You know the old joke about the crackberries? Well, I don't know. BlackBerries to me are just way too small. So smartphone users in countries all over the place might lose some privacy if the promises by foreign nations to shut down BlackBerry services go through. if you remember, we talked about the UAE threatening to block access to email and web browsing and text messages on the smartphone if they don't provide government access for security investigations. And we're talking about the Saudis here. The Saudis say they want access or they're going to halt the service in the kingdom starting on August 5th. That would be huge if it went forward. And you can expect that other governments in what we would call emerging markets would probably do the same thing, like China, India, Kuwait, they're considering the same kind of deal. The BlackBerry is still the dominant smartphone in Abu Dhabi and some other spots in the Middle East, and they're major business hubs, and that would have to be a chunk of their business anyway. BlackBerry messages, as you all know, are encrypted to keep them from being deciphered by anyone who might intercept them. Other companies like Google have added encryption. In Google's case, after some private information was compromised, it set off a big spat with the Chinese government. And the iPhone and the Droid, they've got store information in the clouds, meaning over the Internet. So there are different ways to protect the information, and then there are some where they're not really, I think, encrypted well enough. And various companies have agreed to offer back doors for governments when they're looking at security threats. BlackBerry's stock and trade has been very private, and that's why a lot of people like the BlackBerries, because they don't want that compromise. So this could have an interesting effect to the BlackBerry in general if the UAE decides to do that, because then I think other countries, it's true, will follow suit, and it doesn't have to be just the countries I mentioned. It could be others, too. It's a dangerous, dangerous precedent, because that's that whole free flow of information. And, man, you don't want to see that happen. I think it's, like I said, there has to be some kind of clarifying for why they want to do that. Why would they want to have access? And a ban would hurt RIM altogether and would be awful for the whole corporate email system deal. The BlackBerry is about that. That's why the government and Congress use it, because they know, or they feel, well, at least right now, that it's secure information. It's a secure way around this. And if that goes by the wayside, it kills one form of communication that's instantaneous. I mean, what's the advantage of a BlackBerry? And it's that you can get there quicker than other methods that we have. And especially when you're talking about people on the Hill and votes and running around and talking to constituents that happen to be there, or having various meetings and being on various committees. I mean, after all, we're always grinding the politicians on this show and saying that it's all about a lack of action and it's too much reaction. They have to have secure access, and the BlackBerry right now anyway is the tool to do that. And I'm not saying that's happening in our country, but of course that is the danger of that happening. And quickly, this story, kind of a shocker in a way, might be a little bit over the top. How about this Republican congressman who is suggesting the death penalty for the WikiLeaks whistleblower? And I don't know where you fall on this one. This is a tough one to tackle, because the Army private who leaked the information was a dumbo. What he was trying to do, an axe to grind with the Army or what, I don't know. But Congressman Mike Rogers says that execution would be an appropriate punishment for Private Bradley Manning in the wake of all of this, because he leaked those documents that may affect the lives of so many of the Afghan informers. And he's saying that he's guilty of treason in a time of war. Now, that's true. That is a capital crime. And he also criticized what he called a culture of disclosure for encouraging someone like Manning into thinking that the release of the sensitive information was a good thing. What do you think? stretch drive. We're headed for the finish line of this hour in America Tonight. We're going to weave all over the place. Hang with us.
Protect your freedoms and be independent by learning how to maintain, repair, and customize your own firearms through these exclusive video training courses on DVD from the American Gunsmithing Institute. Call and get a free 2-hour sampler DVD video and catalog. See just how quickly and easily you can learn firearm disassembly and reassembly, accurizing, customizing, super tuning, refinishing, trigger repair, and much, much more for rifles, pistols, and shotguns. Courses available for both the hobbyist and the professional. You can even get certified as a gunsmith to make money part-time, full-time, or as a retirement income doing what you love. Call 1-800-247-5032 to order your free sampler DVD and catalog. That's 1-800-247-5032. Call now and get a bonus $10 saving coupon. 1-800-247-5032 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Learn how. Learn now with AmericanGunsmithDVD.com, your source for how-to gunsmithing videos.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
And now for another exciting minute from Life Change Tea. To all our Life Change Tea customers, it's sale time. Buy three, get one free. Buy three packages of Life Change Tea and get one package absolutely free. Now to all of you that have not tried Life Change Tea, here's your chance. Buy three, get one free. Clean toxins and chemicals inside your body. Lose inches off your waist, and you could lose that excess weight that's been driving you crazy. And with our buy three, get one free sale, it's a great time to order. So here's how. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Look for our special, or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. It feels good to be clean, and it feels good to lose weight, and it really feels good to save money. So order now at GetTheTea.com.
Tell you what happened back on this day, way back when. Thanks for hanging here with ATN. And me, Kate Delaney, as we try to give you the best water cooler buzz that we can. Appreciate all the emails. And remember, you can always chime in at any point during the show. Acting on a tip from a Dutch informer, the Nazi Gestapo captured a girl who would become rather famous, 15-year-old Jewish diarist Anne Frank, and her family. They were in a, I think everyone knows the story, they were in a sealed-off area of an Amsterdam warehouse, and they had taken shelter there in 1942 because they were they feared that they were going to be deported to a concentration camp. So they were in a small space with another Jewish family and a single Jewish man, and Christian friends helped them. They brought them food and supplies, and it was like a secret annex. That's what it was. And she wrote in her diary, that's how she, you know, went through time. That's how she passed time, by doing the diary. So anyway, if we look back on August 4th, sadly, that's when that happened. That's when the family was picked up. And on her 13th birthday in 1942, that's when she started relating her everyday experiences, her relationship with her friends, her family, all that sort of stuff. And it was August 1st when she made her last entry into her diary. So she was captured on this day. Also on this day, if we went back in history, in 1962, Marilyn Monroe was found dead. And there's lots of speculation, if you want a good conspiracy, because there are all kinds of rumors, there are all kinds of thoughts that it was, what have I heard? I've heard Sam Giancana was responsible, that the Kennedys were responsible, that there were people that were tired of her and didn't want her around in Hollywood. And the story goes, and it's true, that Joe DiMaggio, who was one of the people who was married to Monroe, would have a flower left on a rose, left on her grave every single day. That there's something about that. That's, I think that's a cool story, but I don't think we'll ever really know the true story of the end of Marilyn Monroe. All right, here are a couple of other things that also happened on this day, like this one. In 1963, after 2 months of being out of the lineup due to a broken left foot, because, you know, we like baseball here on the show, Mickey Mantle of the Yankees, in the condition he was, got a tie-breaking pinch hit home run in the ninth inning to lead the Yankees to a win over the Baltimore Orioles. What's so significant is that he had been out of the lineup, and he really was still playing hurt, but he was one of those guys, he was able to knock the cover off the ball if you look at old footage of him. How about this? In 1983, New York Yankees outfielder Dave Winfield threw a baseball during warmups and accidentally killed a seagull. I remember reading about that story. After the game, the Toronto police surrounded him and arrested him for causing unnecessary suffering, they called it, to an animal. Imagine if they tried to do that now. Let's talk about movies for a second, because we do our cheap movie reviews on Thursday/Friday heading into the weekend. Well, movies that open up this day included Hollow Man. Hollow Man's an interesting movie. It's about a scientist who develops this crazy serum that induces complete invisibility. And the first weekend it opened, it hauled in almost $27 million. I saw that on a plane somewhere, and Kevin Bacon was one of the stars of that movie. It was actually a pretty good movie. All right, we have other things to get to on this show, including news you can abuse. I haven't done that in a very long time, and I've had some requests to go back to it. So for all of you who are requesting it, this is for you. I don't understand why anyone would want to do this, but a Taiwanese woman is probably the world's top exterminator. She caught 3.5 pounds worth of mosquitoes in a month. If anything, we're all trying to spray and get rid of the mosquitoes. Ooh, those bites when you're outside and it's been particularly muggy and you've had some rain. It's awful. Ugh, in my neighborhood, terrible mosquitoes. So it took her a month to do it, like I said. She beat out 72 other contestants in a contest organized by an insect company to see who could get the most mosquitoes. And the second place winner's haul was less than half of what she had. So I don't know what she was doing to capture the mosquitoes. I guess she developed a clever way. She wouldn't really give up why she did it, but she's in the Guinness Book of World Records now. Woo. This one is also kind of an interesting deal, and it has to do with inflatable pools. You know, you drive around a neighborhood and you see a lot of inflatable pools, actually, especially kiddie pools. Well, in London, they're concerned about it. They say inflatable pools might be a fire risk. In a town that's just northeast of the city, they banned the swimming pools because of that. The London paper of record I read sometimes, the Daily Mail, is saying that a housing association in a town of like 37,000 people said they could get in the way of fire trucks too. So they feel like they have to ban them. But the firefighters are starting to get some blowback on this. People are writing them ugly notes and whatnot, and they're saying, don't blame us. We think it's ridiculous and that a pool of water would be useful in the event of a fire. So why this is being banned, we don't understand. I guess it was more about blocking the way, because they set them up where sometimes the trucks or the people would go through. On the surface, it seems like an incredibly odd story, and I don't blame the fire guys for trying to clear it up and say, hey, don't look at us. It's definitely not what we wanted to do. Here's my last one, the Cadillac Escalade. I like the way that car looks. I've seen some nice ones, and I've seen some that have been junked up. But anyway, did you know that this is the most stolen SUV? Yep. Among all the cars, according to the Highway Loss Data Institute, they say that high on the list, number one on the list, is the Cadillac Escalade. And people want it for the horsepower and the chrome. That's what attracts them to it. And there is a lot of chrome on some of the, I'll call it blinged out Cadillac Escalades. I think it's kind of a neat car. All right, I have not done this in forever. This is also backed by popular request. Can you believe it? When we go to lighten the load, people want to know who's celebrating a birthday. So we're going to tell you who's celebrating a birthday. And the list includes some interesting people, like the president, Barack Obama, is 49 years old. Roger Clemens, boy, he disappeared, hasn't he? Not in Houston, but elsewhere he has. He is 48 years old. And Clemens, who twice struck out 20 batters in a game, and it was all about what would happen with him in the Hall of Fame, has slurked away because of the shadow of steroids that hangs over him. Jeff Gordon, NASCAR Winston Cup champ, started racing when he was just like 4 years old. Not, of course, in NASCAR, but in other forms of racing. 39 years old. Sweet! And Billy Bob Thornton, happy birthday to him, 55 years old. If you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at ATN.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone is now dumber for having listened to it.
And the Beanog.
Fame, fortune, fat women.
Yeah. How about a beer?
Even better.
Look what you did, you little jerk. Worse. How could they get any worse? Take a look around you, Alan. We're at the threshold of hell!